Welcome to the Your Stories Podcast, Chuck and the Magic Pants, Episode 9. Hope you enjoy. Early the next morning, before the sun had even risen, Julian pounded on the doors to the bedrooms. He shouted at them to get up and get moving. The three kids eventually rolled out of bed and opened the door to see Julian fully dressed in armor. He had three bags in his hands and threw one to each of them. He said,
"There has been a band of goblins to break through the southern border. It is unknown how many of them there are, but it is estimated that they number in the hundreds, if not thousands. They don't seem particularly skilled at fighting, but their sheer numbers have made it difficult to even slow down their progress. This horde has already killed 200 villagers, as well as their guards. They seem to be intent on sieging the castle and capturing the entire kingdom. But wouldn't it make the most sense to stay here and defend the castle so the goblins can't get it? I know we've only had one day of practice with our swords, but I think that we could be helpful in some other ways," Chuck said. "I appreciate your enthusiasm and your willingness to help this country, as well as protect it from foreign invaders. However, since you are chosen to be the next king of Remus, it is more important that we keep you safe until the time when you have completed your training. After that, you should know how to fight off these invaders and preserve the peace in this land. Right now, you are not ready for that. Dr. McElroy has told me to take all of y'all away from here and go into hiding. This way, we will be able to continue your training in safety. I already have the wagon loaded with supplies, and the horses hitched up. Dr. McElroy knows where I'm taking you, and once this threat is over, he will come to get us." Sarah asked,
"How long do you think that we will have to be in hiding?"
"I don't know, but I have packed enough supplies for at least 3 months. If that turns out not to be enough, I have another 3 months of supplies already at the location where we're going. Dr. McElroy has promised to come with provisions if we even start getting near the 5 month mark. I've given you each a bag. In it, you will find some supplies that can be very useful for a variety of survival situations. These are only to be used if you find yourself separated from the rest of us. I will do my best to take care of everyone, but if worse comes to worse, you will have to trust each other and the skills that you have to survive. Come on, let's go. We don't have a whole lot of time to lose. The goblins have an excellent sense of smell, so it would not be difficult for them to follow our scent trail. That is why I want to leave as soon as possible, to give our scent as long as possible to dissipate. We will also spend a large portion of our time in the water, so that we cannot be tracked as easily."
"What happens if they follow us?" Ricky asked.
"We can always hope that that won't happen. However, we can't be sure that it won't. Luckily for us, though, where we are going only has one entrance that is accessible to the goblins. If we think that they are coming, then we will have time to block off the passageway. They will have a lot of difficulty finding us, though, because Dr. McElroy has shredded our hideaway with his magic. Even if the goblins do manage to track us, they will not be able to see us or the hideaway, so they wouldn't be able to find the entrance, except by pure accident. Now, let's go." The four of them ran outside and found the wagon just as Julian had said. They hopped on and prepared for the long journey. At first, the going was really easy, and the wagon only slightly swayed back and forth. Once they got off the city roads, though, everything changed. The road got much bumpier, and the wagon started pitching to the side more and more. Before long, they had gotten far enough out of the city that they couldn't even see the outline of it anymore. They traveled across miles and miles of wide open prairie, until they finally came to a stream. Julian drove the horses straight into the water. Once they were in the water, he had the horses turn and go downstream, down the middle of the water. They continued in this way of splashing down the middle of the water for 2 or 3 miles before Julian pulled the horses out of the water and allowed them to take a much-needed break. Julian reached into one of the bags from the wagon, pulled out some bread and some dried meat for his companions. They took it graciously and ate it quickly. They hadn't had anything since the night before, and they were ravenous. Julian took a couple of apples out of another bag and fed them to the horses.
They munched their apples greedily before returning to the grass they had been eating. This manner of traveling and stopping continued all day and well into the night. Eventually, Julian brought the horses in front of a cave. They went in with the horses and continued going deeper into the cave. Finally, they emerged on the other side and saw a small cabin with a stable on the side. Julian told the kids that they could get off the wagon and go inside and go to bed. Sarah and Ricky went inside immediately and quickly got themselves situated before going to bed. Chuck, however, stayed outside to spend some more time with Julian. "Thank you for taking care of us, Julian," Chuck said.
"You're welcome. Anyways, I felt like it is my duty to do everything I can to serve my country and my future king."
"Let me help you unload this wagon."
"Thank you, Chuck, but that isn't necessary."
"Sure it is. You've done so much for all of us here. You loaded this wagon by yourself this morning, and then you drove the horses all the way here. It doesn't seem right that I should sit idly by and watch you unload the wagon. You were telling us yesterday that the only way to judge someone is based off of their actions. Today, you have shown us the selfless man that you truly are. I would like to help pay you back, and the only way that I know how to do that is by helping you unload the wagon."
"You've got me there. I will accept your help in unloading the wagon."
The two of them started grabbing sacks and boxes and crates of everything that was on the wagon. They piled it up neatly in the storeroom in the back of the cabin. For a long time, they worked together, silently, except for the occasional grunt or heavy breathing. Finally, they were done, except for one last crate. Julian told Chuck to take the lid off of it before they carried it off the wagon. He opened it and saw the swords that they had used for training, in addition to some shields and other weapons. Julian said,
"We'll continue with your training in the morning. I just thought you would like to see some of the things that we would get into with training. Thank you again, Chuck, for your help. You know, I think they were right when they said you could be king. You definitely have the right attitude in putting others' needs above your own."
"Thank you," said Chuck.
"That really means a lot to me. I'll see you in the morning, Julian."
Thank you for listening to the Your Stories podcast. Music provided by Audionautix.